All right, welcome to episode 30 of the Tag Teamers podcast, going over everything from Friday Night SmackDown. We had Tiffany Stratton throwing Nia Jax her celebration party that she wasn't a big fan of. Grayson Waller facing off against Kevin Owens. The Bloodline and Roman Reigns. LA Knight addressing Santos Escobar. What do you want to kick it off with?
We got to talk Roman first. Yeah, I mean, they go back and forth with the necklace. Obviously, Roman gets his hands on it, puts it around himself. Ultimately, for Solo to end up back with it, what'd you think?
Yeah, you know, I knew as soon as he was putting the necklace on, I just knew, even when his music hit, I knew Jacob Fatu was coming. For whatever reason, I mean, maybe that was obvious, but I was like, that guy's coming. Unfortunately. And then, yeah, we have to watch his sloppy ass whoop Roman up and down the street, you know, run into him in the corner a million times, make the big face with his mouth and everything, and then ultimately put the necklace back on Solo. So, yeah, I mean, I guess the injury was a work after all.
Seems that way, but
yeah.
Either way, even with it being a work, I mean, he's running around with the boot on still. Like, that doesn't even make sense to me. Like, if you're good to run around and jump up in the air like he did, why is the boot even on?
Yeah. What about I feel like there was some kind of face-ish stuff going on with Solo tonight. Not tonight. Friday. On SmackDown. You know, like him, the whole want to do it by myself thing, all that. What do you think of that?
I don't think that was hit him leaning towards being a face more so. I think it's just kind of him trying to set himself as being dominant, because obviously those guys help him and, you know, he has no issue with it. They do the triple power bomb through the table. And, you know, he's okay with that as well. So, like,
yeah,
maybe it was just a setup as an ambush to make Roman feel more comfortable. You know, if Roman's watching, maybe that's the option. Or maybe it's just Solo trying to look dominant.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, did you think this was a good segment?
No, I thought this was pretty stupid all around. I mean, like I said, yeah. The Jacob Fatu stuff in the boot, whether it's a work or it's not a work, I don't really understand why he's in a boot and he's whooping Roman Reigns' ass with one foot. So I don't like that. Even I know Solo said he wanted it one-on-one, but even when Solo and Roman are just trading blows, Tama Tonga is just literally standing in the ring, just watching.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't like that either. The whole Bloodline thing has been – for the last few months of them jumping and ambushing everybody. And then Tama Tonga's 3 feet away from Solo getting his ass whooped and just keeps on standing there.
Yeah. I just hate the look of Roman getting beat down by these guys. You know, I mean, none of them belong in the ring with him, much less standing tall over him at the end.
Yeah. And another thing too, is like, I mean, we see it over on Raw. Punk had got the bracelet. You know, he had it for a brief moment at the SummerSlam match and then loses it. Just kind of a reoccurrent thing here, you know, like Roman gets the necklace and then loses it a few moments later. Just a lot of copycat stuff I'm not really a fan of.
Yeah. You know, getting the object and then losing it again immediately just pisses me off. And not in a way where it makes the payoff of when he finally gets it back that much sweeter. It just annoys me.
I think the payoff would be better if he just never wrapped it around his neck until it's ultimately his.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like him wrapping around himself on SmackDown just kind of, I don't know, doesn't do it for me. And then the other thing about it is it's pretty much been something that's kind of like bestowed on you. So, like, to put it on yourself, I feel like takes away some of the prestige as well.
Yeah.
In which Roman did
the right to just put it on himself. I don't know.
Yeah. Still no Paul Heyman, which is surprising.
Yeah. Weird. Got to think it's coming soon.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that would come soon. I would think Jimmy would come soon. I really don't know what we're holding off on there. I mean, we don't even have a match confirmed for Bash in Berlin, so I have no idea where we're going with this.
Yeah.
Still no words from Roman either. He's yet to speak.
Yeah, that's true. Didn't even think about that.
I feel like that would be important.
Yeah, I would think the next appearance. So he's not going to be – is he gone for a few weeks?
Yeah, and I would imagine that's why he went through the table.
Yeah, okay.
But the interesting thing is if we're getting Rock Roman at Mania, you know, we're what, 7-8 months away roughly? It's just crazy to think, like, this is how we're building it up, is Roman getting beat down by a one-footed Jacob Fatu. But in 7 months, he's supposed to be in the biggest match of all time.
Yeah. Yep.
Just a lot.
I mean, we're a broken record with it, but, you know, just the booking them, you know, Solo, Fatu, Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, all those guys the way they are, it just makes it a lot of things. It just makes a lot of things not make sense, because they suck and they're in a spot that they shouldn't be. So, you know, it's like, yeah, when Roman's getting beat down by those guys, it just kind of takes away from what's going to happen with him down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't even see Tongaloa, which is kind of interesting too. Not that he was missed, but it's just something to note.
Hopefully they just cut him.
Yeah. I mean, there's not really much else to add on that segment for me.
No.
The only other thing with the Bloodline is next week they're defending their titles against the Profits, Street Profits. Honestly, I mean, Street Profits and DIY, they had a pretty good match, but I don't like that the tag title match is next week already. There's no story being told there. It's just, hey, these guys are the number one contenders. Here's the match.
Yeah, and we all know what's going to happen.
Right, so it just doesn't really accomplish much of anything.
Right. Okay, you want to move on to a different one?
Yeah, I'm good talking the Bloodline.
Okay. KO Grayson Waller or Tiffany? Yeah. What do you want?
Yeah, let's talk the Kevin Owens segment.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I thought this was pretty good. To be honest with you, I thought the backstage portion of it with Theory, Waller, and Kevin Owens coming up behind him and everything, I thought that was good comedy and all that. Good match. And the Cody part of it is bland, of course. I mean, Cody KO is just filler for the next month. Not next month at this point, next couple weeks. But the... Yeah, everything leading up to that I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, Cody was a little slow to make the save, though, which ultimately, if Owens ends up turning heel, I could see that being one of the things he points to on why he, you know, turned on him.
Yeah. Why did he bring the belt out?
It's just one of those things, you know, where champions do it. It's just like the guys that wear the merchandise. Yeah, you're just supposed to brand yourself, I guess.
Okay.
Because you got to think, there's a small chance that there's a lapsed fan or somebody that has never watched. They want superstars to be identified as who they are, you know, and the title represents that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I just, you know, he's carrying the thing. I'm like, what's the point of that?
Yeah, but in kayfabe, you know, it's kind of stupid.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, once he comes out, it's kind of went downhill, I guess. Like, you know, not much to say about it, really.
Yeah, I mean, just Owens grabs the belt first as Cody reaches down.
Yeah.
But... You know, obviously we know Owens' target is the WWE title now. The fact that he grabs it first, I think at least is a step in the right direction from last week when he was acting as if he doesn't deserve the title shot. I think now that his sights are officially set on the title and he's making moves like that, that's the story I want to be told, not anymore the I don't deserve it nonsense.
Yeah, and at least he has some awareness with that backstage making fun of himself about it, calling himself an idiot.
Andrade, Carmelo gets a win finally.
Yep. Yeah. Andrade's dropped two in a row now. So what is it now? 2-1
Yep.
I mean, like you said, I mean, they're just telling a story with the matches, you know, that nothing else really going on. But, you know, they're putting on the best matches week in, week out for the most part. Although I thought this week we had a few good matches.
Rather
than it just being them. So that was a step up. But
The backstage segment with Naomi, Bianca, Jade, and Carmelo, I thought that was funny when Carmelo, you know, it's like, he puts the shades on and he's like, at least you're watching my matches. After, you know, they take the shot of him being down 2-0. Which, so obviously, I mean, we all know as viewers that Andrade was up 2-0. Jade acknowledges it on television. And the only reason I'm making note of it is because a few weeks ago, some jabroni in the comments had told me this ain't AEW, we're not keeping track. Well, if the WWE superstars are making note of it within the story, I think there's something to pay attention to there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Especially when the story is the record of them against each other.
I mean, exactly.
Without that, we got nothing here.
Yeah, because, I mean, Carmelo's referenced the series. It's, you know, multiple times, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
LA Knight, Santos, not a whole lot for me. I did like LA Knight taking the shot about that dinner table didn't look to be fun at or whatever. He had said something to the effects of that. I mean, that vignette was a whole lot of nothing. Smoke and mirrors.
Yeah. I mean, it's Santos Escobar. So,
right. Of course. Yeah.
I came up with a name watching that for Santos. Santos Escojobber.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good.
Escojobber. I thought, I mean, it was brief, but I thought LA Knight crushed it, honestly. Just the little time that he spent on the mic. That was excellent.
Yeah,
like he did. Getting goosebumps a little bit. And his theme song, I think, and they just tweaked it a little bit. I like it.
Yeah. One thing that's funny with the LA Knight promo is I don't know why sometimes the wrestlers just stop on the stage to cut the promo. And then other times the guys go get in the ring. You know, it's just, it's kind of just a weird thing.
I feel like that one makes sense for it to be on the stage.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have an issue.
I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't have an issue with it. It's just kind of funny that some people choose to stand there. Some people go get in the ring. Since he was standing there, I was actually kind of expecting him to just get ambushed, but obviously that's not what happened. That match is confirmed for next week as well.
Yep. Easy defense for him, I guess. Yeah. And then, I mean, what about Bash in Berlin?
I don't know. Probably not. I mean, that's kind of been the theme. The guys that are defending, you know, the week or two before on Raw and SmackDown aren't making the PLE cards. So looks to be the case with the Bloodline and LA Knight.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
It's kind of interesting that they put both title matches on the same week.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought this segment was pretty solid though.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
It wasn't the highlight of the night or anything, but it wasn't supposed to be. So.
Yeah. It did its job.
Yep. Tiffany and Nia.
Yeah.
Do we have anything other than that?
No. Nothing of note.
Really. Yeah. Jade Bianca didn't do a whole lot. Had a little Chelsea Green segment connected to Tiffany and Nia, but yeah, so we'll go into that. Tiffany puts on the party. Nia, not a fan. The thing that I didn't get is, you know, she's being carried to the ring and everything. She's wearing this white dress with the pink, what do you call that? Sash?
The thing
that you call a sash? You know, she's wearing that. and getting escorted to the ring and everything. But then she gets in there and she's like, you know, I don't really like this.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was kind of stupid.
Yeah, I do too. The other thing that's kind of stupid about it is, so she just wins the women's championship. It's supposed to be the celebration of that, but it almost came off like the coronation of her winning Queen of the Ring more so, you know, because she had the crown and then she gets carried like she's royalty, and she won that thing back 4 months ago. So like, it's just, it's kind of weird. Like that kind of thing should have happened then, and then the title celebration should have been a completely different thing. I also thought it was weird that the title was just sitting in the ring for her already rather than her coming out with it. That just was a weird thing to have.
Yeah. I mean, when somebody wins King of the Ring or Queen of the Ring and then they win the title, you know, are they ever still holding on to the King of the Ring thing? I mean, I guess Booker T did, right?
Yeah.
He really dragged that on.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's not the worst thing, but.
Well, the big difference with Booker versus what Nia's doing is the King Booker gimmick is what elevated him to that level. Whereas this was kind of like, they didn't really touch on the Queen of the Ring thing for a few months really. And then now they're going back to it. But yeah, obviously the crown and the title's just a little much to have at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could have done without the Pretty Deadly song. That sucked.
Yeah. I didn't really hate that. Like, I thought it made sense for them to be there.
Yeah.
But it's not like I enjoyed the song.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it fit, but it was just, it wasn't a great song.
Right. Right. So yeah, now, what's her name? Minchi.
Meechan.
I do know her name. I just couldn't think of it at this very moment. So, yeah, I couldn't think of the name of the contender for the WWE Women's Championship. So,
if that's a good sign.
Anything about her. Yeah. So, when are we getting that? Next week?
I don't think they confirmed that. That might end up making the Bash in Berlin card.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, she's got no shot.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, she was whipping Pretty Deadly pretty good with the kendo stick, though.
Yeah. Yeah. She was going to town on him.
Yeah. They took
What's
a beating.
Name again? I already forgot it.
Meechan. Yeah.
I was thinking Minchi.
Which I don't even know where Meechan originates from. Like, I don't even know what that's supposed to be.
It sounds Japanese, but I don't know.
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, they gave her that name change within the last few years. She used to be Mia Yim, so it's kind of weird to even change it to that anyways. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so no, I mean, no Tiffany funny business with the briefcase or anything tonight. The other night.
Yeah.
No funny business with the briefcase.
Nope. She's under control for now.
Yeah. Need to get back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Chelsea Green, she trying to talk to Nick Aldis again or no? Not yeah. until after. She just well, comes.
She made it into she Nick Aldis. Yeah. She made it into his office finally.
Yeah.
And then he comes right out.
Immediately. Yeah. Yeah, she said she was gonna do what Meechan.
Yeah, yeah. She was gonna yeah, she had the same plans that Meechan had.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know if I buy that. Don't know if I buy that from Chelsea.
No, me either. I don't know if Chelsea ever made it clear why she was trying to track down Nick Aldis. Like, for these few weeks that it's been going on, I don't know if she ever did. I think that's kind of
yeah, it's been a month now. I think this is at least the fourth episode since then.
Yeah.
I think maybe in the first one she might have said, but I don't think so.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it was just she just needed to talk to him, and that was kind of it. Yeah. And they left it up for interpretation from there.
Yeah. So do you think she got to talk to Nick Aldis?
No. Because he came out pretty quickly because, you know, Nia attacks Meechan.
But she's in his office, so.
Yeah, right.
She just stayed there until he, until he came back. Maybe we'll get some clarification on it next week. But
yeah. Who do you think's been a better GM as of late? Adam Pearce or Nick Aldis?
Better in what way?
Just better in kayfabe. In kayfabe. Who's got their show under control more?
Probably Nick Aldis for sure, right?
I mean, the Bloodline beating people down every week. I mean, he ran out of his office because of the beatdown.
I've come to expect it so much that it doesn't seem they don't make it seem like such an issue when they do it, though. I mean, because it's, you know, it ends every show.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the problem. Whereas with Adam Pearce on Raw, all this chaos happens throughout the show. And he's constantly pulling his hair out. I mean, not that he has any hair, but he's constantly pulling his hair out, trying to deal with it all throughout the show every week, like Bron Breakker, Drew,
Wyatt Six. You know,
yeah. So Nick Aldis has it under control more than Adam Pearce does. But I think Adam Pearce has a lot more tomfoolery to deal with.
Yeah, of course. Every week somebody new does something, like Bronson Reed the last few weeks just started doing tsunamis out of nowhere. Yeah. You know, and Nick Aldis.
I mean, they got the whole like arena staff out there trying to get him down.
Yeah, the Bloodline, right.
Well, I don't think it was the Bloodline segment. I think there was another one where there was like one security, like one guy came in. I don't remember which segment it was, though. Don't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's Nick Aldis got it more under control for sure.
Yeah. Do you think Pierce or Aldis has been more entertaining, though?
Adam Pearce by a mile. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I love him. He's one of my favorite characters on Raw.
Yeah. Yeah. I like him too. I like him too. I do like Nick Aldis a lot, but I do think Pierce is doing slightly better.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like Pierce is on TV more.
Yeah, well, it's a three-hour show versus two.
Oh, right.
So
I still just feel like he's on, even given the time, you know, per hour, I feel like he's got more time. But I might be imagining that. I don't know. One thing I was appreciative of tonight, I didn't realize until this episode how much I hate Pat McAfee.
McAfee's on Wrong.
Yeah, I know. There was one line from one of the announcers that sounded like Pat McAfee, and I was like, "Oh my!" I got like PTSD. I was like, "Oh my God, is that McAfee?" Mm. And I was, obviously it wasn't. I was like, "Oh, thank God!" And it made me realize how much nicer it is not to have him just screaming and yelling the whole time.
Yeah, he takes away from the superstars and kind of puts the light on himself a little bit.
And yeah, it's just too much animation.
Mm-hmm. And I don't like I forgot what they call it, but you know when like he's drawing the circles on the screen, and like he's talking over it. I mean, that's one of the worst things on weekly television for WWE for me is to sit there and watch Pat McAfee break down a move.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the time of year, though, where we might see Les McAfee. Last year with College Game Day, he kind of stepped away during that part of the season. So,
oh, sweet.
Yeah, so we might be losing him. Well, right now it's supposed to be what was that guy's name? That college commentator,
Joe Tessitore.
Yeah, I think he's going to replace him now.
Okay. Addition by subtraction.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'm interested to see that. All right. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tag Teamers Podcast. We will be back with our reaction to Monday Night Raw on